Hello and welcome into another episode of Find the Edge with Nick and Cody, coming at you with our week 5 preview, hot off an 8-2 week. Both the boys come through with a 4-1 record. Vibes are good. Cody, how are we feeling on a Wednesday night here?
Feeling good. Feel really good about this week, actually. I was a little bit skeptical going into last week with some of my picks, but actually have, I think, probably 5 picks that I feel pretty solid about right now. Obviously, we'll see if some line movement changes some of those by the time we record Saturday. But as we sit here today, I feel pretty good. Already got some bets placed for this week and ready to rock and roll, ready for another winning week. How you doing tonight?
Doing good. Ready to get into the thick of this slate. Like you said, kind of getting into the meat of the season here in week 5. We have a decent amount of information on these teams. We should be able to find some value on the board here. So without further ado, let's jump into it. Thursday night, Tampa Bay at Atlanta Falcons, 1.5-point home favorites, over under 44. Stat of the game, Baker, 7-4 career against the spread on short rest. Covering 5 in a row in the regular season on short rest, so take that for what you will. I think neither one of us are going to include this game in our 5. If I had to guess, feels a little too coin flippy for me. I'd probably lean Tampa, but I think the number you wanted was that 2.5. Now at 1.5, basically a pick 'em on the road. I just don't have quite enough confidence in the Tampa Bay team, so I would stay off. Probably lean a little towards Tampa, maybe just throw a little bit on their money line, but nowhere near my 5.
Yeah, definitely nothing that's going to be included in my 5. Honestly, could see this game going either way in any direction. So going to stay away from it. Also, Bijan Robinson dealing with a little bit of an injury. So for those who are backing Atlanta, that is something to keep an eye on, because that would be a big part of their offense missing if he happened to be a late scratch in that game. But I mean, it's Thursday night, only game on. Probably throw a little bit on the under and just root for another primetime under to come through for me.
Yeah, not a bad move. This was a 1 p.m. game. I think I might actually lean towards the over, just because both these teams actually play a pretty fast pace. But in primetime, in division, not a bad look always when those two things are in play to go under. Yeah, I think we can just move on from Thursday. I think the move here might be, there's a lot of injuries that are kind of like moving parts here for value. If, you know, a lot of good news comes in one way or the other and the line hasn't moved, you might be able to take advantage of it that way. But we won't know till Thursday, because, you know, Wednesday, you just don't get a ton, unfortunately, from these teams even playing Thursday. So that's the only way we look at it. Second standalone game here, Jets at Vikings. Vikings, 2.5-point favorites in London, over under 40.5. Cody, I don't have too strong of a lean on this one. I do have a slight opinion, but I think you have a stronger one, so I'm going to throw it to you to start and see what you think.
Yeah, one of my favorite picks so far to start this week, the New York Jets plus 2.5. I know obviously last week did not look good, but to be honest, throwing most of it on the offense away, obviously Pat Surtain is a great corner, taking away the best receiver. Ground game didn't really get going the way that you would have liked to have seen it. I know Bijan Robinson, goodness gracious, on the last game, Breece Hall did not have quite the game that you would expect. And I'm okay with throwing most of that game away. I think this game is going to be a little bit bigger. Obviously, everyone's going to be on Minnesota, at least public-wise. They're 4-0. They've looked great to start the season. So going overseas, I expect the Jets to keep the ball on the ground, trying to control this game a little bit more than the Vikings can, in my opinion. So I like the New York Jets plus 2.5 over in London.
Yeah, I, like I said, don't have too strong of a lean here. I've got a couple stats for you, Cody. One of them favors you, one of them doesn't so much. So we'll see which one we buy more here. Teams to score 9 or fewer points and then attract 30% or less of betting tickets. I know, a little wordy, but that is the Jets in this case. The following week, cover at a 61% rate the past 20 years. We've already seen this happen 3 times this year, and those teams are 3-0. That is week 3, the Broncos and the Panthers covering, and then week 4 last week, the Bucks losing to the Broncos in week 3 and then covering in week 4 following these circumstances. My other stat here goes against you a little bit. Favorites in international games, 34-10-1 straight up, 30-15 against the spread. So the favorites do tend to cover in international games. Take that for what you will. Like Cody said, the sharps all over the Jets in this one. Honestly, from a football perspective, I really can't find a reason to love the Jets. I think they are due for some regression on offense positively. But I think Minnesota has looked like the much better team, and I would think that the team that's number two in pressure rate, that being the Vikings, would give Aaron Rodgers a lot of trouble. He has not looked incredibly mobile in the pocket, but geez, the sharps are with you, and this number hasn't budged either, so that tells you that the books are scared of hanging a three for the Jets because they know people will come in on it. So sometimes you just gotta close your eyes and bet these games when, you know, clearly some very smart people are agreeing with you, and you know, the ugliest dogs are sometimes the best ones to bet.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just buying a little bit low on the Jets and selling a little high on Minnesota right now. Also, I do think that the Jets corners are going to be a problem for at least some of the passing game of the Vikings. Obviously, sure, Jefferson and Addison are both really good, so you can only hold them to so much. But I do think that this will be one of the tougher games that Minnesota has played, at least against a good passing defense. So, and I mean, again, I know the Jets have really not looked great on offense, but I'm just going to go ahead and take that opportunity to buy low on them. If, you know, if they end up winning that game, they don't miss that field goal at the end of the game, it's probably a little bit of a different sentiment around the Jets. Obviously, the game winner looked good, but you're not coming off of a really bad loss. So, yeah, again, kind of throwing most of what I saw last week away. Going to sell a little bit high on Minnesota and take the Jets at plus 2.5. That favorites in international games, a big stat, though. 34-10-1 straight up is pretty jarring.
Massive.
But I think I'm
gonna 30-15 against my nose spread on too. It. Wow.
Yeah.
Still not that big of a sample size, so I know it seems stark, but you know, I'd like to see it play out in a few years. That could just be, you know, a couple circumstances, but still, it is 30-15 is pretty jarring. Carolina at Chicago, first game on the regular Sunday slate. Bears 4-point home favorites. Over under is 42. Couple stats for you here, kind of just putting into perspective how bad Bryce Young was with the Panthers. The Carolina Panthers have scored 60 points in the last two games with Andy Dalton starting. The Panthers had scored 61 points in the last seven games with Bryce Young starting. Really just a completely different class of quarterback there. Caleb Williams, 34 off-target throws so far this year. That is 12 more than second place. That would be Dak Prescott and Bo Nix tied for second with 22. Pretty large discrepancy there. I'm not really necessarily a Caleb hater, but that is an interesting stat and a pretty stark, you know, this guy's a rookie. He's going to get better, but that's something he's got to work on, obviously. I think me and Cody both like the Panthers here. I'll throw it to Cody to give his breakdown, but I think Carolina plus 4 here is definitely where we land.
Yeah, the Bears have a favorite of more than a field goal, even against the Panthers, is just astonishing to me. Honestly, that's the only thing that kind of scares me about this game is I can't believe that it's that big of a number. So, yeah, I'm all over Panthers plus 4. I mean, obviously they're going to have a tough, you know, the offense is going to have a much tougher day against this Bears defense. But, I mean, if I can fade the Bears by favorites of more than a field goal when their offense has looked as bad as it has, I just have to take that opportunity. Again, kind of feels like I'm kind of walking into one, but I'm okay walking into it. I can't even think about taking the Bears minus more than a field goal.
No, yeah, it's definitely in contention for my five as well. There are some games I have some stronger opinions about later, so it might not make it in, but Panthers plus 4 is definitely the side you want to be on here. Yeah, laying more than a field goal with a rookie quarterback, John, not generally a good idea, especially one in Caleb Williams that's been as inconsistent as he has been. Ravens, Bengals, AFC North battle here. Ravens, 2.5-point road favorites in this one, over under 49.5. Underdogs in AFC North games, absolute cash cow the past, seven or so seasons. 45-29 against the spread since 2018, and they are 500 or better in seven straight years. So every single one of those years, they are 500 or better. It's not just, you know, one crazy outlier year kind of skewing the stat. But on the other side of things, Lamar, I always bring this stat up, but it's important. It's 2-1 so far this year as well. He's 24-5 against the spread as a favorite of 3 or less or an underdog. So basically anything other than 3.5 points or more favored. He covers the number. Even with that stat, I really like the Bengals here. I really want to get a 3. I think it's possible. The tickets all over the Ravens here, which I like. The public has been really struggling so far this year, so makes me feel better to be fading them. 33% of tickets on the Bengals, 53% of money. At home, just feels like a spot that they're going to either keep this close or win this game outright. They're very desperate. The Ravens kind of sniffing their farts a little bit after a huge win over a great Bills team. I just think this is the spot. Bengals offense has some opportunity to play well. Those wide receivers traditionally have lit up Baltimore too. If you go back and look at their game logs, they've had several huge games against healthy Ravens secondaries in the past. So I think the offense gets clicking and, you know, wins a maybe kind of a shootout game, not necessarily a traditional AFC North battle, but I could see a 27-24 Bengals win here.
Yeah, I want to be on the Bengals quite a bit. The
bets to please.
Yeah, the bets to money percentage doesn't make me too hopeful that the three is going to be there, but I would love to get Cincy plus the field goal and at least have that opportunity to push if Baltimore sneaks one at the end. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, if it gets to three, I'll definitely have to reconsider it for one of my five. The 2.5, I still kind of like. I'll probably place a bet on it. I mean, actually, I'll probably just place a money line bet on the Bengals in this game. And we'll see. It's on the outskirts of my five, but I do like the Bengals in the spot, and I could probably get talked into it pretty easily if I hear some good stats go my way.
Harbaugh is also one of the more aggressive coaches for, you know, like going for two and stuff. So that could easily put this 2.5 into play if a 2-point conversion gets missed or made on one of the sides. You know, that sort of thing could really help you in these, you know, these tight games. And John Harbaugh is one of the coaches that really likes to lean into it. So maybe, you know, we can backdoor our way into a 1-point loss or something. But I still like the Bengals plus 2.5. Another divisional game, this one not nearly as interesting. Dolphins at Patriots. Patriots 1-point home favorites, over under 36.5. Stat of the game, Mike McDaniel, 2-5 against the spread without Tua in his head coaching career to this point. Just has not been able to make his offense work with these backups. I really have absolutely no interest in this one. If New England had been a home divisional dog of, you know, 2 or 3, if Miami had won on Monday, I'd give it a look. But now a point favored, you know, but no thanks. I don't, maybe the under 36.5 is the only way we're looking here.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that the low under didn't come through for us on Monday, but it's still great.
It was
historically
the right side. And
yeah, it was,
it took an act
garbage
of literal God to make that shit go over. I mean, that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I agree with you on the under, and this may be a game that pops up 2 to 3 times on Red Zone max, and it's probably for a turnover, not even a touchdown. So I have no interest in seeing this game or watching this game or betting on this game. So yeah, if you like betting the low over unders, I would say go ahead and snag that under. But besides that, I don't really have much else to say about that game.
Yeah, bet the under and then don't watch it. I think that's the best advice we can give you. Browns at Commanders. Washington 3.5-point home favorites, over under 43.5. Jaden Daniels, 82.1% completion rate, is the highest of any QB ever through four games. Not just rookie quarterbacks, any QB ever through four games, 82.1% completion rate. I think he also has the 2-game record for weeks 3 and 4 for completion rate over a 2-game span. So he has been incredible. Cody, I am having a tough time with this one. I did put a bet at Washington when it was at 3. So I'm glad I got it. At 3.5, I'm just kind of scared that this number's not a little bit bigger. I think sharps are still definitely, you know, a little bit skeptical of this Washington team, whether it be the fact that Daniels is a rookie, the fact that the Browns defense is over or underrated at the moment, or the fact that the Washington defense, how bad it is kind of underrated at the moment. One of those things kind of scares me off putting this in my five.
Yeah, I actually want to be on the opposite side. I would love to bet on Cleveland here. Again, if you told me Jameis Winston was their starting quarterback, I would snag the 3.5 in a heartbeat. It's just I can't bet on Deshaun Watson. No, I understand he's going to have a game here or there where he looks okay and they're going to end up covering a spread, but it's going to be few and far between. So I'm just going to avoid it. I kind of like the under in this game. Like you said, Cleveland's defense is a little underrated right now, hoping they can maybe – at least slow down Jaden Daniels a little bit, and then I have no trust in the Cleveland offense whatsoever. So kind of leaning the under here. I kind of just expect that the Washington offense is not necessarily going to hit a wall at some point soon, but definitely slow down quite a bit. Obviously, there's going to be a lot more tape on Jaden Daniels than what's been available so far to start this season. So defenses are going to start to be able to scheme against him a little bit and what's been working for him. So I could see a little bit of a downturn here. I mean, again, if it was anyone but Deshaun Watson, the 3.5, I think I would take, but I just can't. I can't risk betting on him and him just looking terrible for another week. So under is where I'm leaning right now. But yeah, I just think Washington's just a little bit overvalued currently.
Yeah, I think under is a good lean. I might lean under instead of betting the Browns, because I figure that if this game is going to go over, that probably means bad things for the Cleveland Browns' chances of covering the spread. That if it went over, Washington would have to score at least 24 to be covering 3.5 against a Cleveland 20. And Cleveland has yet to score 20. They have scored 17, 18, 15, and 16 so far this year.
Oh, yeah.
Against not great defenses. Dallas, okay, give them a pass week one. At Jacksonville, they've been absolutely awful this year against basically everyone else. The Giants defense isn't scary, especially at home. And that Raiders defense, we gave them some flowers earlier this year, but they were missing Crosby last week, who is literally a defensive player of the year candidate. Mitt changes everything. So this Browns offense is real bad. I would just lean under instead of betting the Browns personally, because I've watched a lot of Jaden Daniels. He's on one of my important fantasy teams, as I'm sure we've mentioned. They have scored a lot of points because they've been incredibly efficient, but their drives take a long time because he does not throw incompletions and they run a lot. So if he has to settle for a field goal or two or punts once, God forbid, I think the under could be, you know, a pretty sharp play here, especially because you look at this Washington team and no one wants to play an under with them. Their defense is horrible. Their offense is great, but could be the sharp look here.
Absolutely.
Indy at Jacksonville, another AFC divisional battle here. Colts laying 3 points on the road here. Jacksonville catching Jacksonville 3-point favorites at home here, over under of 46. Jacksonville has owned the Colts for whatever reason since 2015. They are 15-2-1 against the spread straight just in Indy or in Jacksonville since 2015. Pretty incredible stuff there. Again, not sure it really matters to these two particular teams, but Jacksonville has had Indy's number recently. I think this one's a pretty straightforward look. I don't think it'll be in my five unless it comes down a little bit, but I think they're hanging a three because, you know, no one wants to bet Jacksonville right now. And I think a lot of public money is going to come in on the Colts. A lot of sharp money is going to come in on the Jags. Do you really want to do this to yourself again? I feel like we got kind of lucky to catch this number last week. Probably just lean towards some other games myself.
Yeah, this number won't dip to 2.5 because the books know it'll just get hammered if it gets under a field goal. Mm. So I would expect it to be at 3. And then, I mean, even on the other side, if because I guess there's technically a chance that Anthony Richardson can play. So if Anthony Richardson is ruled out, I'm
not sure that's good.
I don't see it ticking up to 3.5 either with Joe Flacco. I feel like Vegas is going to respect him at least a little bit. So they're not going to hang the extra half a point. So, yeah, I mean, I think if you're going to follow sharp money, it's going to be on Jacksonville this week without a doubt. But it's stinky, and that's a tough team to bet on right now. They look like they are somewhat imploding internally. So I'm staying away from the game. But like Nick said, and yeah, sharp money is going to be on the Jags. So if you want to follow where the money's going, that I would put a bet on them. But can't recommend it as one of my five.
Yeah, if the Jags, honestly, if Anthony Richardson, a banged up Anthony Richardson is getting the nod here, I'd be much more, you know, you could talk me into taking the Jags at that point, because that's the spot I think, you know, he turns it over a couple times, and that's just sort of the way these divisional games go sometimes, and it steamrolls. But if it's Flacco, I'm off it, and I'd almost lean Colts, but I wouldn't recommend it. All right, here's a game I like here. Buffalo at Houston. Bills now 1-point favorites once again here, over under 47.5. Josh Allen, 11-2 straight up on the road, coming off a straight up loss, 8-4 against the spread in those same spots. Got to keep in mind though, Houston 0-4 against the spread so far this year. Those teams usually cover at a pretty high rate moving forward in the year until they get their first cover, just because they are generally overvalued, undervalued by the public because they've been not covering to this point. Houston, I think, is a little different though. They were such a hype team coming in, and they are still 3-1. They haven't covered three of their wins, but they still won the games. I think those bettors could probably forgive them because a few of those were hooks. I like the Bills a lot here. I just like Josh Allen in this spot to win this game. 1 point road favorites. Again, you push if it's a 1 point win. We'll take that. I just like this Bills team. I think, again, they ran into a tough spot in the with the Ravens on the road last week on Sunday night. But I think this is going to be kind of a big brother moment for Josh Allen. And he's going to take care of business on the road here against the Houston team that's looked a little shaky to start the year. I think things just haven't quite come together for this team. Might later on in the year. But I think the Bills are the better squad. And they're going to be motivated coming off that ass kicking on Sunday night.
Yeah, I think you just talked me into at least putting a bet on the Bills this weekend. So I agree with everything you just said. A little bit worried that Houston's 0-4 against the spread just because we typically see that come back to at least around average by the end of the year. So that's the only thing that maybe keeps me a little bit hesitant on it. But, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Buffalo just got blown out on primetime television. You know that they're going to want to come out and win another big AFC big AFC game. So, yeah, I think they're going to be playing with their hair on fire. Like I said, Houston's is 3-1, but it hasn't been a pretty 3-1, obviously not covering in any games as well. So I'm okay with fading this Houston team right now until we kind of see them turn back into the offense and that they were last year. And, again, same thing like I was saying about Jaden Daniels. There's a full year of tape on C.J. Stroud now. So these defensive coordinators are going to be a little bit more dialed into what was working for him last year. And, you know, a slow start to his standards last year is to be expected. They're going to be making adjustments and be a little bit more prepared for what this Houston offense is bringing. So, yeah, I like Buffalo -1.5 there with you. Not in my five, but like I said, I think you talked me into at least placing a bet on them.
Yeah, Mixon's been a big loss for them. This offense looked fantastic in week one when he was there. He had a great game. He got injured shortly into week two, and they just have not really coalesced since then beyond Nico Collins kind of dominating everything. Still the public side, the Texans are. 54% of bets, only 26% of money, 46% of bets, and 74% of money on the Bills. We'd like to hear that. Public, again, really struggling to start this year. Las Vegas at Denver Broncos, 2.5-point home favorites, over-under of 36. Las Vegas Raiders have won 8 straight matchups over my Denver Broncos and 10 of 11. This is also pretty incredible. Broncos home games, 48-29-1 to the under in the last 9 years, and they are 500 or better to the under in their home games in every single one of those 9 years. That is absolutely insane. Bet the under in Broncos home games. I think that's basically the message here. But and I would probably recommend a bet on the under in this one as well. But Cody, I'm going to throw this one to you. I've cooled on this one a little bit, but I know we both like it, and I know where you're going to be. So go ahead.
Yep, absolutely. Raiders plus 2.5. I just think this is a good spot for the Raiders to kind of – I don't know. I don't really like either of these teams. So to get 2.5 in a most likely low-scoring divisional game, I just feel like I have to take. But I will say one caveat about it is if Max Crosby is out again, then I will have some hesitation on this game.
Sure.
So hopefully we have some more clear news by Friday night, Saturday morning before we record. So I don't really have a lot to necessarily back why I like it. But like you said, if you're going to bet the over-under, you're going to bet under 36. So I'm going to take – honestly, I think they're pretty fairly evenly matched teams, and I'll take the Raiders getting to 2.5. Honestly, for, you know, who would I want moving forward, Bo Nix or Gardner Minshew? Obviously, you're going to take Bo Nix. Who do I want in one individual game during Bo Nix rookie season? Give me Gardner Minshew. I'm okay with it. And if it was a pick 'em, I would completely stay away. But just getting the 2.5, I feel like it's too much for a low-scoring divisional game.
Yeah, laying any points at all with this Broncos offense is just a mistake. They are, you know, week to week, just one of the worst units in the NFL. I don't think there's really any other way to say it. Last week, Bo Nix had 60 total pass yards in the game against the Jets. I know it was a really sloppy, wet, rainy environment in the Meadowlands, but 60 yards is 60 yards in a full game. I believe he had -7 passing yards at halftime in that game. Just some incredible stuff. And the only reason I'm kind of cooling on it a little bit is that the numbers pretty much stayed at 2.5 all week, and it's a public bet now. The Raiders are 85% of bets, 66% of money, so a slight sharp lean to the Broncos. I know. I still don't really care that much. I think the Raiders are just definitely the right side here. Getting 2.5, like you said, with a solid veteran quarterback in Gardner Minshew, who I trust to put up 14 to 17 points. I think that's going to be enough to get the cover here. I just don't see this Broncos offense lighting up anything, especially in a divisional matchup where, you know, they saw Sean Payton last year. The Raiders won and covered in both games last year. Obviously, they've won 8 straight. So, we've just struggled with them traditionally, and then a low over-under. If you're not sure, just take the points. And I think that's kind of what we're looking at here. But I think instead of – I loved it when we talked about it on Monday night. I think right now it's just in consideration for my five with a few others. But we'll see. I just have to look into it a little bit more. Anything else?
Nope, I'm good.
Cardinals at 49ers. San Francisco's 7.5-point home favorites. Over-under of 49.5 here. Couple stats. I'm going to give about half these, and then I'll move into my argument later. That'll involve the other half, Cody, just for you. Purdy, 7-14 ATS in his career, but only 9-12 when favored by 4 or more. These are the types of spots you like to fade him. Totals of 50-plus also. I thought this was interesting. This is down to 49.5. It was 51 when I made these notes, so just keep that in mind. But totals of 50-plus, 34-14 to the under the last 3 seasons. 16-4 to the under the last 2, and 4-0 to start this year. Last stat for you guys. Teams to lose by 17-plus, playing a team that won by 17-plus, that would be the Cardinals and the 49ers here. The following week, 115-72 against the spread. That's a 62% cover rate for the team that got blown out the previous week. That would be the Cardinals in this situation. Cody, what are your opinions here? I know we liked the Cardinals on Monday. I don't see a note in here for you, though. Have you cooled on them?
Yeah, just a little bit. I want to bet on them because I think it's a good bounce back spot for them. Their offenses look putrid the past 2 weeks. But you kind of get that with Kyler Murray. You get these spike games like he had against the Rams where he was unbelievable. You have a couple of down games. He typically then has a really good one. So I want to back Kyler here, but just betting against the 49ers always scares me a little bit, especially, they got it rolling last week. And, you know, if you told me that this was a complete blowout and the 49ers ran away with it, I wouldn't be surprised. So for that reason, I have cooled off on it. But if I had to pick a side, I would take Arizona plus 7.5 and bet on Kyler Murray bouncing back.
So that's fair. There are a few things that concern me about this game. I think I'm still going to be on the Cardinals plus 7.5. I like the spot. I told you guys on Monday that Kyler has some good career history versus the 49ers. Just I feel like he's played better than expectation. I dug into it. It's decent. It's not as good as I thought. Kyler, 3-2-1 ATS against the Niners in his career. Those two losses kind of interesting. One of them was actually against a 6-10 C.J. Beathard-led San Francisco 49ers team, and he was favored by 5 points at home. Kyler was, and he lost 17-10. So again, not really the spot that we're talking about here. The other one was last year. Christian McCaffrey put up 4 touchdowns, and San Francisco won like 45-29 and covered a 12-point spread. Even though Kyler put up 29 points on offense, you know, didn't have a horrible game in San Francisco. Only 2 games in his career. So I guess he was injured for obviously the one where he tore his ACL, and then maybe another one in there as well, because only 2 games at San Francisco in his career. But 1-0-1, covered and won outright in one of them, and then pushed another, scored 24-26 against 2, again, healthy San Francisco defenses at that point. I just think I trust Kyler to come in here and put up 20 points on the San Francisco defense. And if that's the case, I think he'll have a chance at the end of the game to cover for us, even if San Francisco's offense gets rolling. And otherwise, you know, I think they're a live dog as well. If I was going to bet San Francisco, I would just, this is another spot, forego the Niners minus 7.5, just bet the over. Because if Arizona's offense is competent and gets to 17 points, 20 points, a Niners cover means this goes over. So I would just lean that way if you're going to bet the Niners. I might even lean that way anyway, but I like this Cardinals side, so I think I'm going to stick with it. But again, another one that I've sort of cooled on because the number's still at 7.5, so some sharps are keeping it there. I would feel much more comfortable if this is 7 on Saturday, actually, rather than 7.5, just because that'll mean some other people agree with me, but we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Green Bay at LA, the Rams, 3-point home dogs in this one, over under 48.5. Couple stats for you guys. McVay and Stafford, they have generally been pretty accurately viewed by the market. 24-8 straight up as favorites, 5-13 straight up as underdogs. Cody, I'm going to throw this one to you because I have some opinions on this game, but I'm curious to kind of see where you think. I think you kind of go in a few different directions here, so go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, now I'm curious about your opinions on this one because this is one that's kind of on the edge, but I want to be – I don't like that stat you just gave me, but I want to be on the side of the Rams in this one. I think that Green Bay is going to be a very public team. Obviously, they were solid with Malik Willis at quarterback. Jordan Love didn't look great if you actually watched that game, but if you're a casual NFL fan and maybe just looked at the box score or just looked at his fantasy performance, you probably feel a little bit more confident than if you actually sat through and watched that entire game. So I feel like the basic public guy is going to be on Green Bay -3, and any time that I get the chance to kind of fade that kind of a person, I like the opportunity and I like to take that. So I want to be on the Rams. Also, I mean, the Rams have had basically every offensive weapon besides Kyron Williams go down since the beginning of the season. And at this point, at least now, there's a couple of games with Tutu Atwell, Winnington, Robinson being a little bit more involved. So I just feel a little bit more comfortable back in the Rams now that they've kind of had a few games under their belt with this new look offense, even though it hasn't looked very great. So again, my biggest reason is I feel like the average Joe is going to want to bet Green Bay. And again, anytime that I can find a way to fade him and take a team that I like with what I consider a top 8 probably quarterback in the NFL, I want to be in those spots. So LA Rams +3 is currently where I'm leaning in this game.
Yeah, I had a tough time getting to a side, honestly. I think I'd probably lean slightly to the Rams if I was going to lean one way or the other, but I could make good arguments both ways. I'm going to forego a side here and just take the over. This is, again, I'm not a big over better. I bet one last week, and I've already talked about two so far this week, so I really need to be careful. But I just absolutely love this spot for these two teams. It's already heading up. 48 is what it started at. It's at 49 on most books. Now I see some 48.5, so that's what I have here because, again, I like the over, so I want the lowest number possible. But these two defenses have just been really suspect, especially the Rams. They've given up at least 24 in every single game, including a 41 to the Cardinals. And the Green Bay defense in the two games that Jordan Love has played, there has been a combined 60 points last week against Minnesota and then a combined 63 points in the game against Philadelphia. The two games the defense played well, Anthony Richardson at home, Will Levis on the road. I don't think Matt Stafford is in the same ballpark as either one of those quarterbacks. Green Bay and the Rams also have some low pressure rates. Green Bay actually looks good on paper. They're the 11th best pressure rate in the NFL. 8 of their 13 sacks so far this year were against Will Levis. 5 sacks in 3 games besides playing Will Levis on the road. So clearly those stats are rather inflated. I think it's fair to say at the very least that this is an average pass rush from the Green Bay Packers. So if the Rams offensive line can hold up at all, like you said, Matt Stafford and these weapons that have had a few weeks to work together should be able to get something going. And then this Rams defense has been horrible. And as much as I am not a huge Jordan Love fan, he's going to put up points or he's going to throw picks. Either way, it's good for an over. So we are totally fine with that. Same with the Rams. Only 7 sacks on the year for them in 4 games, and 3 of them came last week against Caleb Williams, who has taken an absolute ass ton of sacks so far this year. That was actually the least amount he's taken in a game. So, again, a little bit juiced even from beyond where they are, which is towards the bottom of the league. So I really like the offensive environment here for both teams.
Yeah, for sure.
Giants at Seahawks. Seahawks 6.5-point home favorites, over under 43.5. Stat of the game, under Brian Daboll, the Giants are 14-6 against the spread after a straight-up loss. That is shocking to me. 9-2 in that same spot as a dog of 3 or more. So pretty good numbers for a Giants team that I feel like has just been horrible for the past couple of years. They really must have done a lot of great ATS work 2 years ago when Daniel Jones and them were, you know, like 11-6, shockingly, or whatever it was. Yeah, they must have covered like every single game. Geno also 2-8 against the spread as a favorite of more than 4. So trends really, really pointing us towards the Giants here. I don't have too strong of an opinion one way or another, though. I probably would lean Giants if I was playing the spread. There's already a few games I've talked about that I like more. Giants are in the back end of consideration for me just because I think 6.5 is a little too many for the Seahawks team, especially after their defense got really exposed last week. against an obviously much better offense in Detroit, but they have a lot of injuries right now. I think that kind of played into it. So 6.5 is probably where I'd lean, but I don't love it. I'm not trying to, you know, backing Daniel Jones on the road in Seattle. Does not sound fun.
Yeah, we can move to the next game because I have no advice on this game whatsoever. Complete stay away from me. I could see it going a couple of different ways, and I don't have any kind of read on it.
Yeah, those trends are cool. I mean, they're pretty strongly pointing to the Giants too. I need a little bit of football to get me there. You know, like I like having these trends to kind of support my argument, but I need something to hold on to, and I just really don't have it. I mean, that, especially with Malik Nabers banged up, if he comes in on Thursday, puts in a full practice, everybody's healthy, you know, we can have a conversation. But for now, it's on the back end of my radar. Sunday night game, might have to expand with bye weeks. It's going to be a little tougher. There are less games to choose from, so we'll might have to expand our thought process a little bit here. But Cowboys at Steelers Sunday night. Steelers 2.5-point home favorites, over under 44. Stat of this game: Steelers Cowboys. They have played 17 games since the merger. They are 8-8-1 against the spread. That's pretty awesome. Steelers are 9-8. Straight up in these matchups, so they have been extremely close, very back and forth. Dak 17-6 against the spread on extra rest during the season, and Mike McCarthy also the most profitable coach on extended rest over the last 20 years, 37, wow. 23-3 against the spread, 62%. So some strong trends there pointing us towards the Cowboys, but the football is not for me. DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons being out really, really hurts this Dallas defense. They, you know, were already struggling with the run side of things. They got it kind of cleaned up against New York last week, but without their two probably best players on defense, as well as obviously best edge rushers, I have a hard time backing them on the road here, even though the trends would say fade Mike Tomlin as a favorite and, you know, back Dak and McCarthy on extended rest. Those two injuries are just a little too much for me to get there.
Yeah, I mean, you nailed it. I don't really have a good read on this game either. I want to be on the Cowboys for a lot of the trends that you've stated, and I just think this is a good bounce back spot.
44 seems high, doesn't it?
I mean, yeah, it seems very high, but I think that they're maybe factoring in those defensive injuries for the Cowboys.
Yeah, there's got to be a good reason for that.
To get some more points. I mean, I could see the Cowboys, even against a good Pittsburgh defense, putting up 20 points. So, I think it's going to be right there, right around 44, but I could see Pittsburgh having a couple of big plays. Justin Fields maybe escapes the pocket where Micah Parsons should have been or something like that, ends up making that over hit. But it's a little too high for me to really want to bet the under, because I feel like Vegas is expecting something like that to happen. Because I do agree that it is a high number, but I just can't get myself to put it in my five or bet it personally.
Yeah, I need to look into it a little bit more. I have not really even considered this yet for my five, but that is a really high number now that I'm checking that twice. I feel like these are, even though the Cowboys defense is heavily compromised right now, I just feel like it's, you know, Mike Zimmer's a smart coach. You know, could he force Justin Fields into some field goals instead of touchdowns? I think so. And then on the other side, like, unless Dak is giving them sevens going the other way, I think it's a tough matchup for them. You know, the Steelers, what do they want you to do? They want you to throw the ball so their pass rushers can pin their ears back and get after you. Dallas can't run the ball at all and basically can only throw it. So that kind of plays into their hands. I don't know. Yeah, maybe they're expecting a couple defensive scores or at least turnovers in, you know, the red area or something like that. But we'll see. I'll look into it, and it's in small consideration for my five, even though I haven't really looked at it yet. Monday night game, though, we both like it. Saints at Chiefs. Chiefs 5.5-point home favorites, over under 43.5 now. It's actually ticked up for some reason. Cody, actually, I'm going to get my stats and then I'll throw it to you. Derek Carr, 35-59-3 against the spread, against defenses allowing 21 points per game or more entering that game. He is 35-21 against the spread, against defenses allowing less than 21 points per game entering the game. I have no idea what to make of that, but it is pretty awesome. And it supports our bet here, which I think is going to be Saints plus 5.5. Or, you know, the under, I think, would actually also point to this, just because you'd expect, you know, this team to kind of be in it. But either way, Cody, go ahead.
Yep, I'm on the under. And if you're going to bet a side, bet the Saints plus 5.5. This KC offense is not good, and I am okay betting against an aging Kareem Hunt slash returning from, I guess technically the IR, but he wasn't actually injured. Clyde Edwards-Helaire potentially returning. So obviously no big moves this week were made on the offensive side, so you're going to be seeing a little bit of Worthy, a little bit of Kelce, and then some other guys that are probably fourth or fifth wide receivers on most teams. So I am completely fading this KC offense. And then I am 100% backing the KC defense because it's been very good to start the year. Obviously, it's tough to pass against them. Alvin Kamara, I'd expect to have a pretty solid day. I think that they can get some stuff going on the ground. But 43.5, I could see both teams easily getting under 20 in this game. And like you said, that benefits, I'm sure, your side of it as well with the New Orleans plus 5.5.
Yeah, I'm considering switching and back just following you on this under as well because I really like it. But I wanted to just back the Saints plus 5.5 because I believe in both these sides. The movement on the line is giving me a little pause. It started to move down towards the Saints. It's come all the way back up to 5.5 where it opened to begin the week. All the money and all the bets are on the Saints. So it is both a public lean and a sharp lean to this point. Really nobody betting on the Chiefs, which is a little surprising. Usually they are the public side in these type of games, especially standalone. We'll see. Maybe come Friday, there will be some more money put in on them. I'm sure a lot of teasers will make their way to the Chiefs 5.5. So maybe that's why they're not showing up on the spread here. But
yeah,
the total is great. The total is fantastic for the spread. I mean, 84% of tickets on the over, 45% of money. 16% of tickets on the under, 55% of money. So really sharp lean to the under, and it's a public side for the over. So I absolutely love that. And I kind of, I like them about the same. So I'd probably just lean under at this point.
What would this KC number have to get down to for you to consider betting KC?
2.5.
Probably. Right. Like, that's what I was thinking too. Like that's a whole 3 points of value that you're getting on the Saints right there.
That's true. So, yeah, that's a good point. I mean,
yeah, I'm on the under because I don't trust Derek Carr against a good defense, and I don't trust this Kansas City offense whatsoever to score points. But I was thinking the same thing. Like if it was KC minus 2.5, I would have to consider that side of it. But anything down to the New Orleans plus 3.5, I would still lean that New Orleans side. So yeah, I love the under, and I like New Orleans plus the points as well. I think that this is just going to be a low scoring game, probably going to be decided by a field goal, or, maybe Kansas City does what they did against LA last week and they score a touchdown and win by 7 and burn all of the New Orleans bets. But I'm not too sure. I just love the under in this game.
Yeah, I think it is the right look. And I know the Saints, again, have some injuries on their offensive line. I think that's another thing that could definitely make my decision. If all those guys come back healthy, we might just take the points. But if they're not, I think that's even another reason to lean towards the under because we'd figure they'd have less success moving the ball down the field. So, I think both of us will have a bet on this game one way or another, just depending on where we're going to go at this point with a little bit of injury news to come. Cody? Do you have anything else for the people, or can we get out of here?
Just one thing I want to get your opinion on. How do you feel about Mizzou being underdogs as the number 9th ranked team going into Kyle Field this weekend?
I don't want to talk about the Tigers right now, brother. I'm terrified. I mean, I think we're going to lose, but I'm still going to have some money on them. And, they're my boys till I die. So I'm riding, but
so
I am not that confident. Yeah.
Yeah.
We need Cook. I mean, Brady Cook just needs to play better. That's really that's it. Man,
our
defense probably isn't that good. It's what we expected. The defense isn't that great. It looked good against some crappy teams. It's not that good. It's okay. We don't need it to be great. This offense is supposed to carry us, and the running game's been awesome. Brady Cook just has not been connecting on the deep passing game yet. So he's got to figure it out.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, sounds good. We will be back Saturday morning with our Week 5 NFL picks. So make sure to tune in there. Like, subscribe, comment, all the good stuff for us. Peace out, everybody.
Peace.